But he told me, I heard this and I'll never let it go. I said, it's good to see you. And I said, it's good to be seen and not viewed. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's nice to be seen this morning and not viewed. Okay. You see, you caught that, see? Uh-huh. So now you'll never forget that, just like I did. It's always good to be with you all and under the purpose that we're together, right, just to serve the Lord. You know, it was interesting because Uncle Wesley and I were talking several weeks back, when he called me about being here this morning, and of course I agreed, and, you know, he said, will you do a Bible study too? And I said, sure, you know, I mean, agreed. You know, Bible studies are unique, and Brother Jerry, you know this, because it's a whole lot easier when it's not done in a silo, you know, because I know one of the last studies that I led, I was working out of a book, and I told them, I said, look, I'm not going to make any promises to you on how far along we're going to get, because you get into it, and before you know it, it's time, right? So that's a good study. And so I said, man, what can I talk about that I can kind of put into one 30, 45-minute session, right? And so I said, you know what? We got to go back to basics. Go back to basics. I don't try to overthink it, you know? And so I said, what am I going to talk about? And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I realized that oftentimes with things like this, whether it's a Bible study or a sermon, or a lot of things are born out of your experiences. Right? Sometimes it could be something that you did or you experienced even in the preceding days. And that was the case for me this week. So many of you all may know that my wife's grandmother passed. It was Wednesday of last week. And, you know, she had been transitioning for some time. And so, you know, it begs the question of what would you rather see? Would you rather see someone slowly fading away, or would you rather see someone more, you know, not abrupt? That's not the word I'm looking for, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking timeline here. Friday of the week before, we were getting ready to take the kids down to Williamsburg for the weekend, you know, just spend the weekend together. And I told Alicia, I said, look, because her grandma was sick. I mean, she was the hospital bed. She was in hospice care. And I said, look, we don't have to go. I mean, we can stay. You know, there's no. She said, oh, we already paid the money. I said, look, that doesn't matter. Now, I don't want to act like I just got it like that, you know, because I don't. But in the grand scheme of things, we know what's important. Right. And so I said, look, we can stay. And she said, no, I want to go. Which I knew the whole weekend, though, her physical body was with us, but her mind was here, and I understand that. So anyway, we get back, and the next couple days, she was able to be there and spend the time with her grandmother. But that Friday before we left, when Alicia and I went to visit her, she said, Grandma, she said, Phil is here, you know, letting her know who was in the, you know, in her presence. And she said, I want you to pray with me. And so that's what I did. I gathered everybody that was in the house. But you know what? Before I came that day, as I was riding over there, you know, sometimes you have to just turn your radio off, turn off everything, and just kind of silence your mind. That's what I did. And I prayed to have the words to say in the event that I was asked to pray. And so I was already prepared. And so I thought about it this morning. I thought, that was a really powerful experience for me, because as she lay there on what we found to be her deathbed, there's a lot of things that she could have asked for in that moment. And all she wanted me to do was pray. So I thought about it. I'm like, this morning, what do I want to talk about? You know, I had flirted with the idea of kind of discussing a topic that I could tether with my sermon this morning. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to go back to basics. And I'm going to talk about prayer. Right? So I want to share some thoughts with you. And, you know, of course, I have more information than we will probably get through, but that's okay. In the early 2000s, Newsweek and BeliefNet asked 1,004 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. One of the questions was this: what do you think is the most important purpose of prayer? Here are their responses. 27% said to seek guidance. 23% said to thank God. 19% said to be close to God or the divine. 13% said to help others. 9% said to improve a person's life. 4% was other. 5% was don't know. Now, one of the things that I've enjoyed most about Bible studies, even here, is I love to be able to interact. That's not the same thing that you get to do when you're in a sermon, right? It's not as interactive. But I think Bible study is what I enjoy because you can interact. So I'm putting the charge out to you all, right? I don't want to do all the talking this morning because you'd be bored. You're like, man, you got to hear him now. We got to hear him up there, too. So I want y'all to chime in. So the first opportunity I'm going to give you to do that is I'm going to ask the question. What do you feel is the purpose of prayer?
It's part of your relationship with God.
Good. And there's no wrong answers, by the way. Don't feel like you're, you know.
As we sang the song, that's the opportunity you have. You get everything off your chest. You get a chance to talk to God and tell him everything that you can't tell other people. Mm.
Yeah.
And the way you want to say it, because you know he's going to understand. But every little thing that's bothering you, whether it's physical, whether it's spiteful for somebody else or whatever, everything that's on your chest, on your heart that you thinking about, that you feeling about, you get to tell God about it and hope that he will guide you the best way to deal with it. But the main thing is you relieve yourself from that anxiety and that feeling. You get to talk to God and get it off of you.
I love that. And how many people do we get to talk to about stuff and they're non-judgmental? Right? Because, you know, you can tell me something, and I might not show it on my face, but in my mind, I'm thinking, that's interesting, you know? Or that's really giving me a window into who this person is based on what they're saying. And sometimes it's not even that complicated. Sometimes it shows on my face, right? Because you know how some people you talk to, and you can tell how they're feeling because of their facial expression? So, those good. Okay, anybody else?
It's a two-way conversation. We spend all our time asking God to do this, hope God does this. God, would you please do this? It's the time for him to talk back to you.
I like that, too. I didn't have to tell y'all that. Y'all already on it. You already know what to do. The two-way conversation, right? And the beauty of it is you can come and ask me something or come share something with me, and you can maybe halfway accept my opinion or what I think, right? But it doesn't work that way with God. You know, whatever way he's talking back to you, you know you can take that to the bank, right? You can cash it because it's the real deal. And there's nobody can give you any better feedback, if you will. Okay? Go ahead.
It's kind of touching on what Jerry and Wesley both said. But yeah, I think it's also a closer relationship with God through prayer. And prayer opens up all genres. You know, it's not just God do this or that. It's thank you, Lord, for what you did for me, or just praising him through prayer. So it opens up all genres that you would talk with your best friend with.
That's right.
And you can do the same with God and get an answer to it. But you also better be prepared to accept the answer that God's going to give you, because it may not be what you're asking for.
I like that. You know, that's the part we don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Right? I've heard the word relationship more than one time this morning. And, you know, what we want is, we want it to be one-sided. Mm-hmm. God, I'm asking you for this. And then, you know, you just do it. You know how you do it, your thing. You just do it, right? And do it kind of quickly. Don't wait too long either. But, you know, his answer sometimes is not what we want to hear. Just like when you're talking to somebody, you know, oftentimes we tend to ask people for advice. We want to talk to a yes man, mm-hmm. somebody who's going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We find that example. That's nothing new. We find that example in the Old Testament mm-hmm. where the prophets were used, where God used the prophets. And the kings did not like what they had to say about the way that the nation was going, the way the kings were conducting themselves, that they wanted to punish the messenger. For God's message, and same for us, that we think we're above our Creator, and that we can, because of the relationship that we misconstrued that Christ afforded us, that we can be rude, we can be demanding, we can be self-centered, we can be despondent, we can be all those things that He does not want us to be, and think we're okay. We're okay. God will forgive me. But again, we know also in Scripture, if you read the Scripture and believe the Scripture and think, don't think that we're exempt. No, I'm God's favorite child. He will favor me no matter how bad I am. You know, Scripture says there will be an account. And it doesn't happen in October.
Right.
It's going to happen when it happens.
That's right. That's right.
Again, the answer, again, we've been given a model prayer
mm-hmm.
from our Lord Himself.
Yep.
How we should.
That's right.
You know, years ago, I talked to my dad, and I was just talking about not really knowing how to pray. And I remember he told me, he said, just like you're coming to me and you have a conversation with me, he said, that's how you talk to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's your Father. Mm-hmm. You know, and then as I started going in Christ, I found out that prayer can be empowering, and it can also be humbling.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, you start growing in a lot of things in your mind and your heart.
Mm-hmm. Excellent point.
I was going to say, when you go to God in prayer, you better believe that those prayers will be answered, mm-hmm. even if they're not of what you want. But I found in my life that if God didn't answer a prayer the way I wanted to, it wasn't to hurt you or to punish you. It's usually His answer is what benefits you more when everything was said and done. Mm-hmm. And that happened to me several times within my life mm-hmm. where I didn't want to be there or didn't want to say anything. And the Lord kind of just said, you're going to have to go through this. And I felt stronger and more stronger in faith after it was all said and done. So believe when you pray that the answer will be answered, will be in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
even though we don't first see it.
Amen. Amen. You know, and I think we tend to think that, you know, to piggyback on your point, the answer that He gives us is not always going to be pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think we're going to have to go through anything. You know, we oh, no. I checked all the boxes this week. Oh, God wouldn't let me do that. He would not let me go through. But He sent His son to die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't think any more of ourselves than that. Right? So why wouldn't we go through anything?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're being honest, the things that we go through aren't what He went through.
Yeah.
that we don't want to try to parallel, you know. So when we think about the excellent points, I appreciate the feedback. When we think about the purpose of prayer, I want to kind of give you guys an acronym that I came across that is not original. Some of you all may have heard it. Excuse me. The acronym is ACTS, okay, ACTS. And this is especially for my note takers, right? So ACTS, the first A, or the first letter is A, adoration. When you think about that purpose of prayer, you think about expressing adoration. And just for what it's worth, I'll share this with you because, and again, this is especially for my note takers, we live in the microwave social media world, right? Everything is fast and instant, right? You can pull up your social media and you can see anything that's going on in anybody's lives at this point right now. Probably some people too much information that they share, but that's another conversation, right? But people like stuff like this, right? So you give them this acronym, that's not giving them a whole sermon to follow, but they can understand this a lot better. So adoration. God is certainly worthy of our praise, our adoration. While we can praise God in song, we can also praise God in prayer. When Paul prayed for the Ephesians, he took time to praise God. Let's take a look at Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 21. You know, while y'all are flipping to that, I'm using the Bible on my iPad, and it's interesting because I don't know if anybody's ever seen this, but the thing will come up, do you love the Bible app? It's on there right now. Do you love the Bible app? Right? I love the Bible. The app's cool, you know, but when you hit yes, it's going to take you to something to review it, and I just want to get to my scripture, right? But I always feel hesitation hitting no. Like, I just want to get to the scripture, you know? Okay, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Does somebody have it?
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we, than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. If that's not praise, I don't know what is, right? David provides an example of offering adoration and praise. Let's take a look at 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. Does someone have that?
Now I intend to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that fierce anger will turn away from us. My sons, do not be neglectful. I'm in 2 Chronicles. Go on.
That's okay. That's all right. You're good. I was going to say, what version is she reading? I just want to make sure I'm not, you know.
Therefore, David blessed the Lord, in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name.
Amen. So we see that through the verses that we just read, we see that one of the purposes of our prayer, as we lift our prayers, is to give adoration to God, right? So that's the A. Now, the C is confession. Confession of our sins. There's mercy to be found in confessing one's sins. Proverbs 28 and 13. Proverbs 28 and 13. And some of these, we'll read this one, but some of them I'm just going to share with you, and you can notate it. We won't go through them. You can check them out later. But we will read this one. Proverbs 28 and 13.
Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy.
Thank you. So, own it up. Confession, right? My kids, when they found a way to, they don't tend to do the devious things until we're not around. Like, we'll be upstairs and they'll be downstairs, and you know, we'll both say, "It's a little too quiet." You know, y'all, you heard, you know it. And then we go downstairs, and it's almost like a crime scene. You want to check out what? And then the thing is, they're just kids, right? They don't even understand how to cover their tracks the way they're supposed to. Like, all the evidence of what they've done, I can piece it all together like a crime scene. It's not even hard to do. But when you say, "Who did so-and-so," right? Their answer is, "I didn't. I didn't do it." And I say, "I didn't ask who didn't do it. I want to know who did do it," right? Nobody knows. They're not... They teeter on ratting each other out. They don't always. I have a 4, 5, and 6-year-old. They don't always rat each other out, but oftentimes they will, and so much so to the point where if we're not in the room and they come and tell us something, they'll come and happily report. So-and-so's doing so-and-so, and I say, "You know what? I said, the next time you come and tell me that, you're going to stay here with me." You know, and then they stop coming. But confession. Nobody wants to confess, right? We're utilizing our prayers to confess our sins. And it's one of those things where as you're teaching people this, right, we understand it. But as you're teaching people that may not understand necessarily how prayer works, you're thinking, well, if God is so powerful, doesn't he already know what you did? He does. But when I went downstairs, I already know who did it. And a lot of times I know because the looks. They have the looks, you know. And it's like it's and part of the lack of confession is because of fear of consequence, whatever the consequence is going to be. Right. The person who's processing that the most, 9 times out of 10, it was them. Right. And now usually these things aren't done solo. They're joint efforts. For example, Olivia, you're the only one that can open this closet that's got the safety child thing on there. So how do they get into the snack thing? You have to open it. So you are an accessory. You know, you opened it and all right, I'm going on, you know, by my way. Whatever you do, that's on you. But confession, right? There is mercy to be found in confessing one's sins. The Christian enjoys cleansing of sin by the blood of Jesus. So God knows what we did. He knows what we've done. He knows what we're capable of, right? What we're not capable of. But we have to acknowledge it, right? That's the humility in prayer. Examples of confessing sins, and I won't go through these, but I'll let you notate the verses. Jesus provided an example of in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke 18, 10 through 14. Again, David provides an example with his confession of sins in the 51st Psalm, verses 1 through 13. So we understand that obtaining forgiveness by confessing sins is a blessing that we enjoy through our relationship with Christ. Once we put on Christ, prayer is crucial to remaining forgiven. Okay, so it's not a one-shot deal, you know. We don't give our lives over to Christ and then that opens the door for us to just sin willfully and freely, right? That doesn't work that way. That's not the arrangement. But we understand that with a genuine heart that we come forward with confession, God can forgive us because of His grace and His mercy. So we move on to the T. This is one that we tend to use pretty regularly when we think about prayer. What do you think the T might be? Thanksgiving. That one. I like that. That could be. That's not a dumb answer. Because we do.
Thanksgiving.
Right? And I'm not talking about the mac and cheese and the greens and the ham. And, all right, I'm going to get y'all hungry because I'm getting me hungry. But we offer Thanksgiving. Go ahead.
I didn't hear what she said. What did she say?
To talk.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Which, and honestly, would y'all believe that I was doing that on the way over here? To prepare myself for this very moment and that very moment. Give me the words. I know what I prepared. Y'all don't know what's in my head. That's my goal is to try to get it out to you, right? God, that's where I need you. But Thanksgiving, being thankful is emphasized repeatedly in exhortations to pray. Let's look at Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20.
Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Always giving thanks. For every little situation that we come into. You know what? Even those things that don't turn out the way that we'd like them to. You know? I realized that with Alicia's grandmother, and I can talk about this here with you all, amongst friends and family, and her not have to get emotional because she's not here right now. But we've been reflecting a lot over these last couple days. And I found myself in position to be of support for her, as I should, right? But the last significant passing that she had in her family, and her family is a lot smaller than mine, was probably about 15 years ago, right? So anybody that knows me, think about how many people we have lost in the last 15 years. So I realized that God, and this is the thing, like, I don't know this to be true, but in my little small brain, this is the way that it works, right? I don't know if part of God's plan was to prepare me through moments that I've experienced for a time such as this. Right? That could be just one little small minuscule piece of it. But now I'm able to be there for her. I don't know this to be true yet, but it might be a service, a homegoing service that I don't have to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I say that. I don't know. The arrangements haven't all been made yet. But her grandmother had laid it all out. For real. Like, Alicia has notes. In fact, not only notes that she made about what she wanted, they were revised about 4 years ago, right? She had changed this scripture to this scripture. She had changed this name to that name. I don't know what that was about. Maybe they got on the bad side. I don't know. But, you know, we've been reflecting a lot these last couple of days, and a part of it is about being thankful for her life. You know, we were talking about the where we were going to have the service. And her grandmother was a member over at First Baptist West Petersburg. And, you know, they were talking about how, well, is the building large enough to hold? And, you know, her mom said, well, we have a small family, and this is my, that's not my lane. So I know how to stay in my lane. I wasn't talking to her mom about this. This is Alicia and I talking. And I said, well, you got to think about, yeah, you don't have a big family. I said, but think about all the people that she has impacted. Think about the people that were work people, right, from many years ago. Absolutely, right? Sister Charlotte was one of them. Think about, I know of people at our congregation who asked Alicia about how her grandmother's doing every week. I said, think about the Aunt Beverly's, the Uncle Melvin's, right? The other, and that's just in our little branch. Don't even mention the other people, right? Her siblings. So I said, once you kind of think about it, you know, it could be more than just a few people. But we've been offering Thanksgiving for her life. I told you about how she had her wishes laid out. And this is where I'm able to give Alicia comfort. She was ready. She was ready. We sat there and we watched her, and she was tired. She was in the bed, and, you know, and Alicia, bless her heart, she was there, I mean, every moment. But she had this one moment, and I told Alicia, I said, you know, I want this, and I told her this in the beginning of this process. I said, look, I want you to make the last time that you were there, if that was the last time you're there, I want you to make that count. In other words, I want you to feel like if you were there and that last time you were there was the last time, you'd be at peace. However long that means you got to stay, whatever that means you got to do, right? And so, of course, when she would come over, she'd be right there at her grandma's bedside, you know. Alicia had took the AirPod and put it in her ear, and she had the gospel music that she liked playing, you know. Before she started to lose some of those faculties that she had, one of the moments that we shared that Alicia will never forget, and she shared it with me already, is she talked about how her grandma alluded to the fact that they shared something special that the other siblings and the other family members don't share. Okay? And you said, what is that? Alicia was like her family in the sense that she wasn't attending regularly to church. When they had a friends and family day, they might have come, right? When it was Mother's Day or whatever, they would come. But that was the extent of it. So that was the pre-me era, right? Anybody that knows me knows that, hey, my faith is a part of, if we're going to be together, if we're going to do this thing, this is what we got to do, right? And she gave her life to Christ right back there, right? But her grandmother was so proud of that relationship that she had developed with Christ, that not only she had, but that she was imparting on her children, right? So that's something that they shared, and her grandmother was able to relay to her, how proud of you I am. And, you know, I'm going to keep harping on that for her, because that's a part of her memory, right? But we've been able to give Thanksgiving for her life. When you think about Thanksgiving, we think about, I was referencing jokingly, you know, the food, you know, the holiday, right? But we also understand as Christians, that's a part of our very fiber. The fiber of our being is about Thanksgiving, right? Even down to how we interact with each other. Hey, thank you. You know, we do stuff like, and this is not necessarily a Christian characteristic, right? But holding doors for people, you know, everybody's done a little run towards the door when somebody's holding the door for you. You know, little things, being thankful for things that people do for us, right? If we can be thankful to one another for things that we do, then you know we can be thankful for what God is doing in our lives. I mean, and he, you know, I've used this example before. When we think about what he does for us, you realize that every single beat of your heart, he had to give to you. If you want to understand how fragile life is, put your hand on your heart. And I don't mean when you're saying the pledge, you know. Put your hand on your heart and feel that beat there. Right, you realize, and you could probably calculate, you know, if you did the math, how many beats, you know, there are, you have in a minute, and how many beats are in a day. for all intents and purposes, medical knowledge aside, when your heart stops beating, you expire, mm-hmm. right? So literally every beat of your heart is a gift. Now, we don't sit here walking around every beat. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We could, right? But that's all we'd be doing all day. But that ought to let us know how fragile we are in His hands. Because when it stops, we stop. Go ahead, brother.
Moment of Thanksgiving starts when the eyes open first thing in the morning, and then from then on, asking God's blessings of what would you have me do for you today?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to share with some brethren. When that moment happens, and we realize where we are, we come to the understanding that it is the day the Lord has made. It is a gift to us. What we do with that day is our gift to Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that puts it in perspective for us.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, if you, when people talk about when you, you know, when your feet hit the floor, right? You know, giving God thanks. I would venture to say that when your feet hit the floor, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've already been up too long.
Mm-hmm.
You needed to say thank you before. Now, I talked about the heart beating. Don't even come out during the night. Right? Not only all the times that your heart beat when you didn't have your hand on your heart, you weren't thinking about it, but keeping your home safe.
Mm-hmm.
I pray often when I leave the house in the morning, keeping my family safe. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids, they're going, my wife is going to work. I'm going to work. The kids are going to school in different places. Right? We all converge back on one place. Right? At the end of the day. But thankful for God waking us up. And not only waking us up, but getting us on our way. All the things, even this morning, you know, and we got to be careful not to use cliches, you know, when we're praying also. You know, we think about the, you know, we oftentimes say things like, Lord, thank you for bringing us across the highways and byways, you know, and nothing is wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. I say it myself, but we got to be careful not to make those just vain babblings that we say, space fillers, you know, because then it's not genuine.
Exactly. I was just going to say, have any of you ever tried to sit down and count all your blessings? Because you never get to the end of it. If you think of it, and I thought about that so many times, you know, my cup runneth over because of all the blessings He has given me. I cannot even mention all of them throughout a day. And so there's no excuse for gratefulness. There's no excuse for thankfulness because all our being is totally dependent on Him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a powerful thought. Go ahead, bro.
The conversation you've just been having, you'd be praying constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that biblical?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thessalonians
yep.
5.
Yep. Tells absolutely.
16 and 17 tells us, rejoice always. Mm-hmm. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances.
Yes.
For this is the God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So, but this is the catch, though. This is the catch. We know in our minds and our hearts that we should be rejoicing and we should be thankful to God. But with that same tongue, we tear other people down. I know none of y'all do this. You know, when I say we, y'all know who we is, right? People. Oftentimes, people in the church. You know, and see, this is where people get confused, right? When I was talking, let me shift gears for a second. I was reading on how you talk to children about death. Because I work in the school. I've been a school counselor for many years now. And I talk to children about death, but never directly in a religious perspective. Now, with that being said, I'll meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. If you're giving it to me, we can go. I'm giving it right back to you from that religious perspective because I know where your head is. Mm-hmm. But I was talking about how to talk to children about, you know, reading this up. And one of the things that it was saying was, you know, you don't want to use things, you don't want to use terms like sleeping, you know, or crossing the bridge, you know, because they get confused, right? So my oldest is 6, so she's really having a difficult time with this because she knows that Gigi is gone. Mm-hmm. We've been to Gigi's house. Gigi's not there. I saw Gigi when she was in the bed, in the hospital bed, and she told me she loved me, and I was able to give her a kiss. She's not there anymore. The other ones, they don't understand it as much. You know, my son, Buddy's, he sees Olivia crying, so then he's sad, right? But being direct about what it is that they're experiencing, because we don't want them to get confused, you know? And that's tough, because this is different. I was sharing this earlier. This was different than when my father passed, because the kids were younger. They didn't understand, you know? For them, it's Papa's gone. He's in heaven, you know? And then, of course, the younger ones now with Gigi, it's Gigi's dead. They don't understand. You know, when you go to a funeral and the funeral staff, when they're closing the casket, how hard of a time that is because the physical part of your loved one is gone. But you know what they don't do is, and I know we know all of that. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But you notice what they don't do is just. Right? All right, on to the next thing. It's a very slow, gradual, right? Which is painful, right? It is painful, but there's some decorum about it. The kids don't have that. You know, Gigi's dead. You know, Gigi passed away, right? You have to be careful because we understand it here in this setting. But, you know, they go and say that somewhere else around the other family, and that might be, they know they're just children. You know, but trying to get them to understand, right? I got away from my thought on that, but you get the message. You get the message.
Couldn't you say Gigi went to be with Jesus?
Gigi went to be with Jesus. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm okay with that. But because that's pretty direct, mm-hmm. right? If you know where Jesus is, you know where Gigi went, mm-hmm. and that ought to give you comfort,
right?
Right, but. Some of the messaging you got to be careful about because you don't want to confuse little brains.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And again, that's where prayer comes in. We're told that we can ask our Father for discernment, for wisdom, and also for the words to say. And so always speak the word in truth and in love. See, and that's one of the many challenges within the brotherhood that we have to overcome, is that we like to tell quote-unquote Bible stories and we're not really telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know it can be harsh sometimes when the facts are the facts and the truth is the truth, mm-hmm. but that's where we ask for wisdom and discernment because Christ did not sugarcoat anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so neither should we.
No.
But again, discernment and love, that's where we need guidance and help in that regard. That when you're talking to a 4-year-old, ask for God's wisdom, because that makes that anyone, and of course it's far different when you're talking to a 17-year-old, and we all know that.
Yep.
So hopefully we take the time to pause, ask God, even in that conversation, for the words to say. And sometimes, nothing.
It's like when you and we're gonna come to a close. It's like when you there's gonna be people that come to my wife or myself, and you know, we all been there before when someone loses a loved one, you don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not about what you say. Sometimes it's just being there.
Yeah.
you know, or a hug, and I'll pray for you. You know, that's the most powerful thing you can do for them, right? Literally, you have that power in your hand. Now, as long as that relationship is there, you know, because you, hey, some people say, y'all have heard, y'all have had people who they know you, that they know that you're a Christian, or they know that you go to church, they know that you're going to church, and they'll ask you to say a prayer for them, you know, lift a prayer for them. But you also know people that you might not ask them to, right? Say a prayer. Oh, no, I don't think I want you. You know, my dad would say, those are the prayers that just go up and hit the ceiling. They stop. They don't go any further, you know. All right, let me give you this last part of this acronym. And I was foolish, thinking I had all this stuff and I was going to get through it, and you know. All right, so we did the A, which was adoration, okay? We did the C, which was confession, the T, which is thanksgiving, and then the S is supplication. What is supplication? Anybody know what that is?
Sure
it is. See, this is the reason why, on my notes, I have the definition right next to it. Because, see, I didn't know. I, you know, we said prayer and supplication, but I had to look it up. Because, see, if I didn't know, I'd be saying, yeah, that's it. You hit it on the head, right? So the definition that I have is the act of asking God or someone who is in a position of power for something in a humble way. Now, doesn't that feel like what we're doing in prayer, right? Mm-hmm. We are encouraged to let our requests be known to God. We are commanded to make supplications for all men. Real widows are known for their supplications night and day. And that's 1 Timothy 5 and 5. And I won't go into these. I'll let you all read them. Solomon made a supplication at dedication of the temple. 1 Kings 8, 28 and 29. Jesus made supplication as he was crucified. Stephen also, as he was being stoned. And that's in Luke 23 and 34, and then Acts 7, 59 and 60. So, I'm not going to get into this next part. I'll leave that. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Right. So as you think about what you pray to God for, those things fall into those four categories. And this is something that we can even share with other people. Mm-hmm. Right. Of why we pray, what we pray about. What's the purpose? Amen.
Amen.
Any thoughts or comments before we close?
You have to come back and finish.
I got the notes. I got the notes. I got. Look, don't tempt me. I got the notes.
Could supplications be summarized in just pleadings?
Yes. Pleadings. And aren't we in position to do that with God? Like, I can't do anything without you, God. I need you. But not in a proud way. Look, I need you to get to it, and I need you to do it now. Mm-hmm. You notice what I said? In a humble way. You know how when you need somebody to do something for you, especially something that's going to take them out of their comfort zone, you have to use a little discernment in how you ask for it, right? You got to use some wisdom in the words that you use. You know, I think that's very important. That's a life skill that we need to have. But pleadings, I like that. I like that. Thank you all for your attentiveness. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, once again we come before you. Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity that you've given to us to come here this morning to study another portion of your word. Father, we know there's just a small portion, but we pray that what we've addressed this morning and discussed would be beneficial to our growth, to our salvation. Father, that we'd be able to spread it to those who do not know you. Father, as we close this period of study and we proceed into our period of worship, Father, we pray that everything that we do this morning would be pleasing unto your sight, that we would continue to be the people that you would have us to be. Father, forgive us when we fall short. And just continue to guide us and help us to lean on you in everything that we do. These are all our blessings we ask in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.